down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Topper Sports League podcast, the official podcast of the number one social co-ed touch football league in history. With your host, Joe Kay, Emily Schilling, Jeff Kroll, and occasional and random appearances by the Lord himself, Topper. Not to mention, we'll have our random guests, new and old, from the TSL community. Who do we have this week? Let's go find out.
I'll probably
someone's going to have to say something really interesting so they can segue into it. So, Emily?
Well, I have nothing interesting to say. I can see your recording.
And with that, welcome
What's funny is that I'd already hit record after you said
that.
So, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the TSL podcast, playoff week one edition. Playoff Saturday is come and gone, and everything went according to plan. No surprises happened whatsoever. Just kidding. As usual, it was maximum fucking chaos, including the weather, after having a season that had, 6 weeks of just beautiful, perfect, is this even fall session weather? It got a little bit colder, and then finally the rain came, as it usually does.
It's coming back this weekend, though.
I know. It's supposed to be 70 degrees.
No, that's what I mean. The unusual weather is coming
be
back.
Perfect. Summer's coming back.
It's going to be perfect.
We had winter, and now we're back to summer.
Exactly. The only way that can get ruined is if Travis continues to do his rain dance, because from what I hear, he's not going to be there this weekend because he has to go to Chicago for a wedding.
Okay.
But it doesn't matter if it lightnings out, we're going to play the games at some point, even if it's like 10 p.m. They're going to be done. So just, there's no getting out of it,
under
right?
Under the lights, but not lights.
We'll just call what?
In the dark.
Actually, all right. Real fun question since we're here and I already accidentally talked about it. What happens if there's like lightning storms and we can't actually play for like a while?
We wait for the, we look at the, what do you call it? The radar? And wait to see if it looks like it's going to pass.
Okay.
If it looks like it's going to be like 10 hours of lightning, then we would cancel it and try to reschedule for another week.
Why don't we just boot game on off of Nardens Field and just go play there under the lights?
Just go take that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that works for me, John.
Contractual obligations suggest otherwise. Boy, if this place had an indoor field, that would make things a lot easier.
Someone should order some steel for that.
Yeah, I know. Where can we find some just laying around? Anyway, welcome everybody to the podcast. I'm Joe Kay. The voices you've already heard are the usual ones. Jeff Kroll is here, of course. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Joe.
Hello. Man, you can pull the microphone closer to you. You got to stop.
I know.
You're a short man, and you're like leaning across tables.
I'm
what
short?
Are you doing?
I thought I was like Bon Giovanni size.
No, I don't think so.
I'm surprised his arms could reach to get that mic.
Wow, that's the whole thing's all fucked up. Emily is here as well.
Hey.
Hey. And then people on the podcast this time around are people that have been on it before, so they don't really need introduction. It's John Langley's here. Hello, John.
It's playoff John Langley.
No, it's not, apparently, because you haven't shown up yet. And Colorado Mike is here.
Hello.
Looking dapper as hell, I might add.
Thank you.
What a fantastic little hairdo you got
straight,
going on.
Straight from work.
That's how you look at work?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You look way better.
Different guy.
way more handsome.
Well, I'm wearing my PWI shirt and my Crocs.
That's what you exactly. It's the craziest thing.
And not have drunk, yeah.
That's also
they
true,
they don't
too.
Let me drink on the job.
You're so crazy. I feel like
not with that
it's still quieter than it needs to be. Is your thing pushing it all the way?
Yeah, I'm pushing it.
In the
much
back.
As I can.
In the back.
Push
like the connection.
This thing, like this.
That's
just make sure it's clicked in.
Yeah.
It's clicked in.
All right, whatever. Maybe this fate doesn't want us to
hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just, right. Whatever. You have the least important things to say. It's fine. whoops. So being a dick aside, thank you guys for coming out on this Wednesday edition. I was in San Diego / Los Angeles for a very long time. I got home yesterday. I'm still fucking tired, but it doesn't matter. I missed a lot of fun stuff, and let's just get into it because that's all people care about. Let's go. Emily, you're reading shit. 9 o'clock games. Tell me about those Breakfast Club playoffs.
All right. We have Staph Infection 42, BDSM 8. Genocide 28 and Amber Alert 20.
Now, who played in this game? You guys played each other in this game. Aren't you on Genocide?
I'm on Genocide.
And yeah. You're on Amber Alert, but you didn't show up.
Nope, wasn't able to get there.
I saw none.
That's fine. So just tell me what happened. Go ahead, John. John's going to have a game every fucking hour, so let's go.
So I'm going to call a spade. The weather absolutely leveled it out. I mean, Amber Alert was just an absolute stacked roster. But we did play a great game. Mm-hmm. Jeff May was definitely off. He was struggling. When I get an interception, it's a little bit of a telling story, but I do want to shout out Sean, who said he would target me every single drive, and then I got a pick the very next drive. So,
you
know, shout out to Sean. it was honestly, it was just a very sloppy game both sides. A lot of turnovers, a lot of interceptions, but we just made plays when it mattered. Amber Alert went back and forth. They put Baker in a couple times at quarterback at apparently Amber's orders, And then they put Jeff May back in because Baker wanted to go back out at receiver. And no, Baker actually threw the ball very well, but Jeff just kind of struggled. He'd call a route for Deke, and he wouldn't even look at him. That's according to Deke, by the way, so take that with a grain of salt. But sloppy game. Obviously, it rained the whole time. I think everybody can attest to that who was there. But we're just glad to get the win. We're the chaos killers. So
that's, well, the chaos starters, apparently. So number one seed goes down. Mike, anything to add from the Amber Alert side of things in the team chat of misery?
Right. Yeah, I wasn't there to cover the flats. That's what they.
It's your fault.
So we know that's bullshit. Yeah, okay.
Totally my fault. They blamed it on me in the group chat.
So. Okay. Well, as long as it's your fault.
Yep.
Well, I mean, if you were there every week and then you weren't this week and they lost,
and we lost,
makes sense.
That's what I mean.
No, we're blaming it on Deke. It's all Deke's fault.
You can do that if you want, but you're not in the group chat.
I love Paul.
There's two captains of Anthony Deke on this podcast right now, and I think we're both going to agree it's all Deke's fault, right?
No, just because I don't want you to tell me what to do.
Damn it.
All right, so anyway, the other game, Steph Infection blew out BDSM 42-8. I know Steph had three touchdowns and threw one of her own. Newman was really on. I believe Andrew Kisak had like three interceptions and just a complete blowout. There's not much really to add into that. And, Practice Club isn't the only thing that had a top seed go down. So let's move on to the 10 o'clock games, also known as the D1 hour.
Sticky Bandits 37 to Gray Hair 16, Eyes Downtown 42, Past Our Prime 6, Scared Hitless 37 to Tight Ends 25.
All right, let's just get the easy one out of the way. Eyes Downtown 42, Past Our Prime 6. Doesn't really seem like much happened there.
Yeah.
Just a complete
So the only
blowout.
Thing that Hogan wanted to say about this game is, although he got destroyed and he takes all the blame, he did want me to point out that he threw the full distance of the field twice.
So that's something that no one else can do.
It might have been a little
wind-aided.
There's
wind-aided. No way.
It might have been a little bit wind-aided, but I watched one of them. So, I mean, I know what happened.
How bad was the wind on
the
top
wind
of
was
it?
Pretty severe at times, yeah.
Yeah?
It was
okay.
Pretty severe.
Like 2 weeks ago, that bad or even worse?
I think
it was worse.
Yeah,
it was definitely worse.
Yeah. Now, did the rain last the entire time? Again, I wasn't here, so I have no idea.
Rain was on and off.
Joe, I will get to the rain at our Bullet Club game.
Okay, cool. Can't wait. Can't wait. All right, so like I said, Eyes Downtown just walked over Past Our Prime, whatever. Not a big deal. We move on from that. Oh, boy. So which one do we want to go through first? Sticky Bandits 37, Gray Hair Don't Care 16. Jeff, just a week ago you guys tied them, but that was obviously without half of your team, I believe, right?
So it's actually without half of their team.
Right.
So
they
were short-handed against us.
They were short-handed against you and tied you.
They were short-handed against us, tied us,
and
then came back with a full squad this week. I'm sure thinking, like, well, now that we have our full team, we're going to roll these guys. And we just made some defensive tweaks. We really played a shitty game defensively the first time around. We didn't have all of our people there. We were missing a couple of guys.
Of course.
But it was just some dumb strategy stuff that we were doing. So I think we kind of ironed it out. And just from the very beginning of this game, I mean, both sides of the ball were just on fire for us.
Yeah.
Ryan had a couple diving interceptions for us. The guy looked incredible out there. Drew and Adrian are always amazing. And our girls played really well. So just an awesome game all around.
And Andrew's trash, right?
Andrew is trash, yes.
Yeah. He wasted all his picks in Breakfast Club.
He did look awesome in Breakfast Club. One of those picks was actually a pick six that like a ref blew a whistle errantly. But he had a great game in Breakfast Club. Great game for us, too.
So I've played with Dave Eichhoff, gray hair.
Oh, you played?
No.
I was going to say, you were there for forever.
You were playing for Eichhoff's
team. Yeah, you were part
of
that.
Yeah, it was HK whatever.
Yeah. And then you had a big breakup. I remember
that.
Go on.
So I feel like it was just typical Dave in playoffs. He does really good in the season, and the playoffs happens, and he just loses his ability to play football. And
that's brutal, but okay.
Well, I mean, 37 to 16.
I guess.
One of those touchdowns they got, too, was actually a well-defended sixth down. We mentioned Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew blasted their sixth down ball away, and it went right to Dave's wife for a nice, easy touchdown.
So Andrew didn't help at all.
Typical Andy.
The best worst player in the league or the worst best player in the league? I'm not sure.
You
what
can
he
make
is.
Up your own mind on that. Maybe put it on
Andrew Kisak Award for almost good. Do you have notes from George? Because I have notes from George. Amazing. George didn't say much, though. He just said, because I asked if he was coming, and he's like, no. I was like, well, just tell me shit then. He said that John Bond couldn't play either. They were missing Nick Voss as well, and they just struggled to keep up with the ladies on Sticky.
Yeah.
And then they didn't really use Amber enough, who obviously was
kind
of a cog in that.
Them the other week. It was like the Amber show.
Right.
Right.
She was catching stuff the whole time. And we did put a little bit more, I know, John is just
John's a fucking animal. Oh, it's fine.
John wants a little attention. It's been a minute since we've heard John's voice. No. So,
Jeff Kroll, ladies and gentlemen.
Sorry. So Amber was just killing it the week that we tied. Mm-hmm. And we made some adjustments to kind of focus more of our defense.
What'd you do?
On her this past week. We just kind of shifted what we were doing. I mean, it was mostly Andrew in coverage for her, honestly. Okay, yeah. But just the way that we were, like, talking, communicating up front in the flats, I think was a lot more effective this week. So she had a much more quiet game against us this time around. I wouldn't say she played poorly or anything, but
no, it's
she
just,
wasn't lighting us up the way that she
was. She just wasn't as open because you pretty much schemed for her, which isn't, like, the worst move in the world, obviously. Yeah. So congrats on your big win. Speaking of big wins, Scared Hurtless 37, Tight Ends in Motion 25. 3 weeks ago, I would have said this was completely, like, impossible.
Yeah.
Tight ends was back. They were murdering people. They just beat the Legends. Everything was great. And then the world has just fallen apart on them. They lose to the Legends. They lose to Frodo Swaggins in the crossover game. And now they lose to the, what, the seventh seed, right? Yeah, the lowest seed. Scared Hitless shouldn't be the lowest seed. I think some ties kind of made that happen for him. But the seventh seeded Scared Hitless, which we tried to get. We really tried to get Johnny Football on here, but he just didn't want to respond to you, so he missed his moment to talk shit. That's on him.
I did get a couple notes from Kleckler that I'll read in a second.
Oh, please, give me all the Kleckler notes you have.
Well, it's very short. I just asked him, I said, any credit or blame you want to give before we podcast tonight? And he said, blame Baker. He's been putting bro on overnights at work. The day that we started doing bro overnights at work was the day that we started falling apart. And I said, got it. Tight ends in motion, mismanaged. You're giving no credit to Scared Hitless. And he said, we are a lot better than them. So,
God.
No credit given.
Yeah, it was
based on my piece of paper.
It was a tough game to watch.
Yeah.
Based on my paper here, you're actually 12 points worse than they are, Kleckler. So maybe you should do that. And
it's
maybe
Bob Giovanni's fault.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's poor captaining. And you want
to
know whose fault it is?
Actually, yes.
You want to know whose fault it is? Emily Curry's. Because if she were here, if Emily
I
were here running the team and not selfishly had to start a family, none of the nonsense would have happened this time around, because Emily doesn't take that shit.
I think
so,
we can all agree with that.
So it's Emily Curry's fault.
So the loser of the week is Clayton?
Loser of the week is everybody, I guess, apparently. We'll get there, though. So shout out to Scared Hitless. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You said you watched it a little bit? Like, how?
Yeah,
I watched
the whole
Hitless
game.
Well, then give me some more Scared Hitless tips. Let's go.
Well, Cat played.
Yeah?
That helps. They all played great. I mean, they managed the game very well. The quarterback, I don't know his
Dylan.
Name, is it?
Dylan Day.
Dylan Day managed the game extremely well. There was a very pivotal missed obvious tag call for a sack that they ended up going down and scoring at the end of the first half on. That was pretty pivotal, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to play deep. You got to score points, and tight ends didn't start scoring until maybe the last couple drives.
Right.
And, you know, they went down, Scared Hitless, caused a turnover, went down. Johnny Football pitched it back to, I don't know who the girl's name was, but got 8 points on a pick.
Well, if the one
either,
you don't know
is
probably
Kat,
Carly.
Mal or Carly.
Jamie wasn't there?
Jamie wasn't there.
Honestly, didn't really, it doesn't even matter.
Right.
So you know Mel, so it wasn't Mel.
It wasn't Mel. I know Mel.
It's
so.
Got to be Carly.
But at the end of the day, tight ends missed every opportunity to score. You can't score 25 points and win games. Most of the time in D1, right? It's
I wouldn't know. I don't play.
You've got to put points up, and tight end. I'm telling you, Derek is just a huge. It's a huge part of their offense. You know,
got to play flag football.
It's called the. Oh, we don't have anything. Fuck it. Throw it down the field to Derek. Right. That's kind
that's
of the play.
It's the Kyler Murray meme.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Derek's down there
Fuck
somewhere.
Fuck it. Derek's down there somewhere.
Yeah.
And I know that I spoke to Derek after the game. He kind of felt really bad after that. But at the end of the day, you know, they thought they could win without him, and clearly, Scared Hitless said, not today.
Apparently. Mike, any dynamic D1 info from you?
No. I'm just kidding.
Buddy. I know. Just fucking all a bunch of bums. No, I was messing
But I am going to GM tomorrow, and I will see Derek, and best believe that I'm going to blame it all on him.
Okay, that's fair. I can't wait for you to do that. That'll go really well for you, I'm sure.
He's too nice. He's not going to get mad.
Okay. Let's go on to 11 o'clock, also known as D2 time.
Dilfs 43, Untouchables 37, Buffalo Vice Retro 20, Two Free Ballers 17.
And there was also a no pun intended 21-0 win over the Replacements. That is the least amount of points scored against the Replacements all season because they forfeited.
Embarrassing for Kyle and company. Yeah.
I hear the TSL betting community is furious about this because a lot of us placed the over and that did not hit.
That didn't happen here.
No, apparently not. I guess they just couldn't get a team at the last minute and whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter because the end result was pretty much already determined. What are you going
to
do?
Were they able to, like, put a team together all season, and then this was just...
They forfeited one game, I think, earlier in the season.
Yeah, because the first week of the season...
crossover game to past our prime.
Yep, they forfeit one game, and then they had another game that they needed, like, mostly replacements in the beginning. We're like, who are these guys?
Well, judging by they asked me every single week to play, and every single week I told them my finger was broke, I'm assuming they didn't field very well.
Okay. Right, but...
The replacements playing most of the time.
Well, I'll give them some credit, because I know that they had Trish as one of their females, and she, I know from these ladies, was always at a wedding or out of town every single week,
it seemed. Then why commit?
I don't know, man. I don't make these rules. You probably commit, and then you realize, oh, shit, I have 14 other things to do. Like, what are you going to do? I mean...
I got a new boyfriend. I have no time for football.
Well, that's what it is. You get a new boyfriend, all of a sudden you're going to that person's weddings that you didn't know existed, and shit happens. I mean, that's just life, but... What are you going to do there? Buffalo Vice Retro, 20. Free Baller, 17.
Yeah.
This was a rough game to watch in the first half.
Oh, yeah?
I thought it was rough in the second half to watch on Free Baller's end.
Dylan threw, a pick six on, or almost, I mean, man, I think, it was I think a, they went down, but it was on the first or second play of the game.
Yeah.
And then I think on the second drive, like his second throw, he went to, like, loft it to... forget who it was over the middle, and it almost got intercepted because he overthrew his
opening with a pick six is never a good start, that's for sure.
No, and it, so obviously Buffalo Vice Retro started off hot with that. They got points early, but I thought Dylan really collected himself. They went down and scored. I don't know if they evened the game or they were down one or something like that, but it was very close. Yeah. And I know it was close at halftime, and when I went to start warming up for Bullet Club, it looked like just Buffalo Vice had great they played great defense. Yeah. They were very tight on, and I know it got a little bit, not chippy, but there was a little
playoff
bit of trash
chippy.
Talk.
Playoff it's, chippy. It's, you know, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. A little bit of back and forth. It's Free Ballers.
And did any of that get out of hand, by the way? Was there any, like,
not that I
being
know.
Playoff
Which
dickheads?
Which is funny, because you would think that everyone, you know, obviously everyone's more tense for playoffs. You would think that there would be more arguments. I had a couple people come up to me and complain about, like, roughing stuff where, you know, you get a little salty. But that happens every week.
Sure.
I didn't hear of any, like, real, like, fighting or big chippiness in games.
That's good. I wonder if the rain just made everybody so miserable.
Maybe it just sapped everyone's energy a little bit.
Like, everybody's miserable, so fuck it, it's not worth
it. Just go drink at the bar.
Because you would think that would more enrage you more, but yet it did not, so... Whatever, there's that. Then the Dills 43, Untouchables 37. Sounds like we had another good game between these two teams. Anybody have anything on this?
Well, no. I saw some of it.
Oh, sweet. That's exactly what I need. Go.
So Doobie came back.
That's huge.
Yeah. Which, well, at first I didn't... He wasn't, like, really, like...
Trying?
Great. Yeah.
Go on.
But then after the game went on, you could tell, like... You could tell that he has been playing for a while, and then when the game went on, he was, like... finally, like, finding his receivers.
Yeah. So was this game, like, was it always close, or were the Dilfs up big? And
the Untouchables were like... up for a while.
Oh, go on.
Continue
to tell the story of the game that you watched.
Well, I watched some of it.
All right.
The Untouchables were up for a while, and then Dilfs just...
They just came back. Just kept making
but
plays.
But I do have to say the Untouchables, like Burr overthrew Mel in the middle of the field, and she... Vale actually has a picture of it. She freaking got up and catched.
Oh, is that the picture she's catching
over Travis?
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw that. I was like, what?
I didn't know what was going on. Obviously, I had no clue about, like, you know, what was actually happening in the games. But Mel messaged me when I was still in Los Angeles saying, hey, here's this picture. And it's her just mossing Travis and going over. I'm like, this is spectacular.
That
she goes,
a fantastic catch.
Does anybody have the video of this? Because I want the entire
video. I wish I had taken a video of it. I did see it.
I was like, the only person who might have the video is Val. And I'm sure she'll give it to you because it's Travis getting just beat on that. But that's awesome. Shame for the Untouchables. But like I said, Dilfs are, they look... Every year, they look like they're like, oh, they're 3-6, this is whatever. And then they just come in the playoffs, and they just start winning games. Yeah. But a lot of that is because Doobie actually shows up. And
Raw Dog was there, and Travis was a receiver. And
yeah, everybody was there. Because I know Travis
was
saying before. Travis was saying before, Dilfs were having trouble having, like, their team show up.
Right.
So, and that's just...
They had Rogo rushing at one point.
There you go. So, God, it's exciting.
He couldn't keep up with Burr. Sorry, Rogo.
Right. Shout out to the Dilfs, who will get to play, no pun intended, next week. And that should be a good one, too. Right, because Buffalo Vice is playing Frodo.
Yeah,
so that should be exciting. Let's talk about more stuff. How about D3? What happened in noon?
Practice squad 30, Mountain Dew Me 14, Bullet Club 29, Ticket Shifty 15, Itches and O's 43, 716 35, and Scott Senior starting 42 to Can't Touch This 31.
Holy crap! So Mountain Dew Me. They end the season the way they started it, losing to practice squad in the 1-8 game. This It's like one of our unheralded rivalries, I guess, at this point. Like, yeah. You can't like hear it and read about it, but these two teams have gone at each other for a while, and now Mountain Dewey, they're at the, you know, they're the number one seed. Practice squad's having their worst season they've had in five seasons, I want to say. And Bede must have come out and just balled properly.
Yeah, Bede was. It's funny. Bede's always the first guy at the fields every week.
Yep.
It's always an absolute lock. He's going to be the first one
over
there.
You, right?
What's like that?
He gets there before you.
Sometimes he gets there before me. So he and I are always the first two people there in whatever order. But he, when he got there, I mean, he was so locked in. He was just so serious from like the moment he got there.
Really?
Just like
love,
all fired
oh,
up.
I hate
just
that I
like
that.
You can tell it must have killed him to wait until noon to play this game,
right?
Because he wanted this at like 9 in the morning.
Right.
He was just so locked in for this game.
I love B. I don't know exactly what happened in the game, of course, because I wasn't here, but.
I also feel like the mud played a role.
I was about to say,
everybody jumped
time,
speed.
Yeah, every time I looked over there, it was just, you know, they couldn't, Mountain Dewey wasn't adjusting very well to the fact that they couldn't do their normal game.
Their biggest asset is just being fast as fuck. And
I think this was the last game that we played on field one.
Yes.
Because after that, we moved field one to field five, which was just sitting there vacant, so we wouldn't fuck up field one too much.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's a smart call. See, that's executive
Garbaz's
of the year type
idea.
Stuff. Garbaz, executive of the year. I love it.
He is the executive of the year.
We got to remind me that we have to talk to Garbaz about being on the podcast for next week.
Yes.
Because he should see everything.
Yeah.
Should see everything. So, yeah, shout out to practice squad. 8 seed beats a 1 seed, just continuing the chaos because that's what happens. The 2-7 matchup, Bullet Club 29, Get Swifty 15. I had to tell you, so I knew I was going to be gone. I knew I was going to be missing the game. I knew Jeff Easton, our quarterback, would be missing the game. And I knew Tom Hughes, arguably our best receiver that isn't Pete, was going to be missing the game.
What about Deke?
Deke is there. Deke is a football player.
I think we knew what you meant.
But at the point, so I took probably the biggest gamble in TSL history and chose John Langley to be my quarterback in the playoffs, knowing this full ahead of time, like before the season even started, that that's what was going to have to happen, barring our trip getting canceled for some reason. And he proved me to be the biggest winner of all time. It's like not even putting 100 on black. It's like putting it on double zero and it hitting in roulette. So, John, this floor is yours. You didn't look like an asshole in a playoff game. Tell me about it.
I know. This is probably the biggest shocker of the TSL.
The Woodpeckers were saying they were really surprised to see you win.
With no due respect, fuck off, Jeff Bolt. So the funny thing is it Nick Bucek?
Yes.
So We're down 15-9 at half.
You bums? I didn't know any of this.
Well, we were throwing into the wind, and I told you I'd talk about the rain later. I'm not joking. The first offensive drive, they have no rain. Our first offensive drive, the rain starts coming down. We scored on it. Crystal made an amazing jump and catch.
He's
ran
fantastic.
Into the end zone. They get the ball. The rain starts lighting up. We get the ball back. It starts pouring again. And, of course, I'm being, you know, me and being like,
so
what the fuck?
Psychopath head case, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we get to the end of the half. We're down 15-9, and it's 6-0, and I'm like, this is the last play, so fuck it. Throw it up to Pete, right?
Mm-hmm.
Throw it out of the end zone. Don't even give him a chance at it. And I'm cussing myself out. Nick Bucek comes up to me and says, John, calm down. Step, throw, because I've been trying to get my mechanics back right because I haven't been stepping into my throws.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Nick, I got this. Let me be a psychopath for halftime, and then I'll be fine. Come right out of halftime. Defense shuts them down the entire second half.
Yeah.
Crystal made another dive and catch in the end zone to put us up 29-15. By that point, we knew we had it because them throwing into the wind, they had no chance.
So who QB'd for them?
Nick Angelo QB'd until the last drive, then CJ took over.
Mm.
The big adjustment they made after our first drive that we scored was having CJ rush me, and the guy's taller than freaking Sasquatch and longer arms than Go-Go Gadget, but I had to adjust to that. I could not hit the middle quite like I wanted to, so I had to kind of figure that out. And by the second half, I had it figured out. I felt calm, cool, collected, and I was confident. Even when we were down 15-9.5, I'm like, we got this, guys. I mean, I'm not worried. We've got Pete. We got Deke. We've got Nick Bauer played a fantastic game on defense, so shout out to him.
Okay.
He had a couple pass deflections. Crystal, Steph, and Jess were all amazing. They made me look good.
and that's
pretty hard to do. So, but we scored 20 unanswered points in the second half. Defense locked down, and we scored every single drive. So in the second half, so
you love to hear
just
it.
As we suspected. I told you I'd come through for you. So
yeah, that was I was just as surprised as everybody else was. Anyway, Itches and O's 43-716-35. Yet another upset. Colorado Mike, you can finally help us out here. Tell me about this game, my guy.
Well, first of all, I think we were a little more fired up than usual. I think Derek Pugh was out on the podcast since last
week
or last something week. Like that.
Yeah, with him
saying
Dante.
They blew us out twice and that we were slow and that we weren't able to, that it was going to be
well, I'm glad that you were fired up.
No contest kind of thing. And they were kind of chippy, I think, like not the whole team, but definitely him and Steve were a little back and forth, which, I mean, you can expect that, but
that's motion.
I think that coming into it, I think the weather did help a little bit, of course, but like I think we came to play, and they were expecting it to just be a gimme like it was the last time, and it wasn't.
This is typical Itches and O's, though.
And Riley had a great game. Like there was one drive where she had like I think four catches, like back to back, and a touchdown.
Well, Riley's really hard to cover.
She is. So she had a really good drive the one time, but then Steve was super smart he didn't get. Let the game plan get too crazy because of the weather. You know,
right? Yeah.
He wasn't like letting us. He was like, "Listen, I'm not going like too deep. Like, I just won't because like he didn't want to get like a floater out there and they get caught up in the wind and then you know now you got an interception on your hands." And they didn't change 716 did not change their game plan. Like they kept trying to go deep like they do normally.
Mm-hmm. That's
and was Derek their QB the entire time?
And no, they switched to
James.
Dylan.
Okay. Dylan. So, and that's actually so the one play that they did have that like went for a touchdown that they needed. They switched to Dylan. He throws a touchdown, and so we're like, okay, all right, great. They're gonna switch out to him, and now we're gonna really have to like play a lot harder. And but they did make a weird call like towards the end. We were up, and they called for a punt. It was 4-1, and we had them stopped. Way in their own end, but like when you're trying to come back, I think in my opinion that kind of call. I mean, shouldn't you try to get at least half or some yardage? Because they punted, but like then that just gave Steve the ball to waste time. I mean,
is that what happened? He ran timeout.
Yeah,
he just
ran timeout. I mean, and then
and Steve's really smart with the clock
and was 100%. Able to move the ball. It wasn't like he stood. It's not like we didn't move the ball at all. We were able to get down the field quite a bit, and he was just wasting time on purpose. So. That punt, I think, was in my opinion, a bad call. If I was running that team, it's not the call I would have made.
So good for you guys.
I'll take it.
It's interesting you say that you were fired up about their comments on the podcast, because even when we were here, I was getting the sense that they were just overlooking you guys. Because like I remember Dante was sitting there and he was like, "Well, I'm ready for my next shot at you guys," and like talking shit to me. And I'm like, "Man, you got to worry about your first game first. Like, don't look ahead." And it seemed like that's what they were doing. And they just completely underestimated you. They're like, "We beat them twice. They're bums. Let's do it." I mean, you guys, this team always competes in this division. They're just having a bad season. Like, whatever. Sometimes the bounces don't go your way. But that's why there are eight seeds beating one seeds in the playoffs all the time, because especially in D3, where it feels like any team could you know, can still win it, except for, obviously, 716, because they were too busy looking ahead. And you guys, you know, like we talked all the reasons why. Steve's smart. Their girls are really good. And you guys have an advantage there for sure, and you made it work.
We've been together now for a few sessions too, so
always
it's like,
helps.
You know, there's some chemistry there. I mean, like it doesn't really matter which guys he has out there. I can be out there, or a combination of. We have Jeremy Street and
back.
Dirks.
Yeah, he's back.
And we have Robert Lee, Big Rob. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get enough credit.
He's
everywhere. That kid's
Buddy's bigger brother.
I think
you
wear like a banana.
Robert's a hat usually.
No, yeah, he wears
glasses, hat.
Nope. I'm telling you that's not Robert. I'm telling you
that
that's not Robert Lee.
Really great. On
he's
the
great.
Yeah, I bet she's great, but he's not on our team.
Your dream man.
Yeah. But Robert doesn't get enough credit. Yeah, he's Buddy Lee's younger, bigger brother.
Yeah.
And he was everywhere this last week. But like I said, it doesn't really matter the combination of guys he puts out.
I'm
going
to have to go meet him.
Yeah. Yeah,
we'll make it happen.
Yeah, I've know Itches and O's pretty well. I know the team. I know Jeremy. I know all of them pretty well. And if you're giving up – Steve is very smart with the clock. If you're giving up 43 points, that's usually not a game Steve wants to be in. He doesn't want to be in the high scoring. He wants to be able to milk the clock, get his points, get ahead. If you're giving up 43 points, you did not change your game plan at all on defense. So that's on 716.
That means
they did not change their plan at all on defense. And that's a credit to you guys that you took advantage of it. But I know Steve is more of a, hey, I get ahead, let's milk the clock, because he pissed me off during the winter session when he did that.
Right.
It was in the first half and he's doing it.
Yeah,
of course. Also, so that must mean, so if Nick Foss wasn't there earlier, was he there? He was there for this game?
Yeah, I saw him.
Oh, he probably had to go fucking play flag, right?
He missed it for flag.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because I saw him and Kayla and whatnot.
Okay, fair enough. So then I tried to make an excuse for 716, but apparently not.
Maybe and mud?
Well, apparently Derek posted on Facebook that he likes Duff's Wings better than like Barbell and all the really good places. So this is what he deserves, and I don't feel bad for him anymore.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Because I work at Barbell. Yeah. He's like throwing shade.
No.
For me, anyways, the shade was thrown first. So like,
that's
I'm
just
not
bad
trying
taste. Oh, no, you're good.
Any sort of argument with anybody, but that's how I feel.
That's like
they said the shade first. We
exactly.
just answered to it.
That's awesome.
They wrote, but you didn't write back.
Correct.
Gross. Anyway, Scott Senior starting 42, can't touch this 31. Now, just a week ago, can't touch this won this game 46-44, if memory serves correctly. It was something close like that, high scoring. Yeah. Scott Senior starting, obviously didn't have Scott Senior starting, and I think Scotty Drow didn't show up again.
I think he was there.
I thought Newman threw for them.
Oh, okay. Oh, I saw him 2 weeks ago in his muck boots. No.
No, he two Newman weeks ago, didn't throw for them the week before.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was Newman this week.
So it was a different team, different offense. Newman, who's still the best free agent quarterback on the market, apparently, because I don't know how he got fucked, but whatever. He leads them to a good win. I'm not entirely surprised. Like, can't touch this is good. They have like Ryan has incredible arm talent and stuff, but they're missing the playmakers to keep up with.
He's also not methodical enough.
Right.
Very big on I call it early me, where it was I've got the arm, I can make the throw down the field.
Nah,
I can overthrow anybody. And he's very, very talented. If he starts using his girls, and he's getting better at it.
Sure.
I've seen it throughout the season. Process. Even our second time playing against them, much better. And he was a little more methodical. But once he learns to use some plays and chunk the way down the field, that team's going to be really good because he, by far, has the best arm in the league. I don't think it's close.
I don't think it is either.
I mean, Pugh's got a strong arm, but he doesn't have touch. Ryan has touch, and that's the big difference between the two. So he's... I think probably the strongest arm in the league, and once he can dial it in and call some plays and be more methodical, can't touch this, so they'll be a hard team to beat.
They're already a hard team to beat, and they've only been in the league for this is their second session.
Yeah.
Last session they played D4, and they had an upset of the Cunning Stunts.
Very impressed by him.
Which is apparently just like a thing that happens now. And now they had another solid season, and whatever, there's more to look forward to, but shout out to Scott Senior starting. No idea who the quarterback will be next week, but we'll find out, and it'll be a fun game because they'll get to play H's and O's, and Bullet Club will play practice squad, I believe, if the math works right. So that looks like a whole bunch of fun. So let's talk about some more fun. Let's talk about D4.
Travis Henry Kids, 56, Cunning Stunts, 25, Puckett, 42, ILF, 6, Zach Attack, 56, Bassman, 18, Spinelli's Plumbing, 48, to Buffalo Vice, 43.
Okay, besides the game you played in or you know about, well, you played in it too, right? Are you back to play?
I play defense, yeah.
All right, cool. So did anybody watch the other games? And did Andrew give you a list of how the team
got? I actually just texted Andrew. He says, ILF bad, Puckett good.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
That's
I was
looks
gonna,
like it.
I was going to touch on the two games in the middle because a couple blowouts. Puckett All-Stars have been, like I said, really good all season.
Yes.
They're a machine.
They lost week one. And they haven't lost since. They've been fantastic. They blew out the Lightning Falcons, who just wasn't their
year.
I mean,
they fell apart without Joe Miano.
Yeah,
it's kind of a wasted season for them.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but it is what it is. Yeah. It happens.
And they couldn't use me as a backup because I told them no.
That's a good reason, since you had to play, I don't know, the same time. Zach Attack, who, again, found some offense this season, they blew out Vaspian, who always struggles on offense, but there's just that, so there's not much to talk about
those
there.
Those guys used to play such close games against each other, too.
Right.
It'd be like 20-18 or something.
100%.
And now Zach Attack is
just last session it was. I think it was like 22-20 or something like that.
It was always these low-scoring defensive battles, and they were great, and now Zach Attack has just improved by so much.
Zach Attack added,
that's what it is.
Zach Attack added like a few people, and... Because I remember week one, I think they were playing John, and I was watching that game. It was the game I had to ref for two plays before I made Hearn do it.
That's right.
It was terrifying. But
and Hearn blew a call.
I looked. Oh, no, nobody cares. You blew 80 throws. So, like, the problem is that, like, they all of a sudden had the 14 guys on the sideline thing.
Yeah.
But it's also not a problem because now you have more people who can do more things. And apparently, whatever it is, they found the right combination because their offense has been leaps and bounds better, or at least more explosive than it's ever been. Spinelli's Plumbing, speaking of explosive offenses, 43, yes. Buffalo Vice, or 48, Buffalo Vice 43. These two teams can sling it, and it seems like that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
I don't know if any of you guys
saw Spinelli's won it on the final play, I'm pretty sure.
Really? That's
yeah.
more. Yeah.
I think I saw it just at the end as I was going for the Lenny's Ladies game. And
yeah.
They, I think Nick threw it to, I forget.
Ryan, who, maybe.
Yeah. I call him the best mullet in the game.
I think it's Ryan.
He threw it to him, they definitely won it on the final play.
That's
I
awesome.
Saw
I heard
that.
Them celebrating from the distance,
from the bar.
Yeah. And the funny thing is,
dry Jeff Kroll.
Spinelli's wins it without calling any plays. They are such an explosive offense, and they don't call any plays whatsoever. I always say when I'm the time ref for them, and I've done it three times now, I don't even have to have a play clock for them because they just get to the line and go. It's the easiest line.
You are still keeping a play clock, right?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, I do it anyway, but I almost don't need to with them because
no, you're just saying.
They just don't.
I just want it on record time. That you're still doing it because I don't want somebody to bitch later.
He doesn't even pay attention. They're going to bitch around me anyway. It doesn't matter.
That I've watched. I didn't watch this one because it was cold, but I've watched some of Spinelli's games, and I think they have some of the most underrated girls.
They do, 100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, they have Katie, but then it's the other girls
like
who
not,
do really well.
Like,
I know.
Katie's great. Love Katie, but the other girls are so underrated.
For sure.
They almost never drop a ball.
Like, right. Yeah. You know what they do, though? They play, they score 100 points, and then they, like, leave. So, no, we never get to learn, like, who they are.
I don't know their name. I talked to him about the Halloween Bowl, and the girl's like, I'm going to be in Jamaica. And she laughed. I was like, okay.
Have fun in Jamaica. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It's way better than whatever the fuck we're going to be doing. So, shout out to them. Last play of the game. That's pretty awesome. And then, apparently, Lightning can strike twice because Travis Henry Kids beat the Cunning Stunts for the second week in a row in it. What is essentially a playoff game. John, just the floor is yours again. Go ahead. Tell me what happened.
Well, we could have Emily go first.
Well, do you really want to talk about how poorly
you
guys
played? I just played defense, so I felt like I was only in half the game anyways. My head was only
in half the game.
Well,
the defense is kind of what lost the game here, so why don't you tell me about
it? Yeah, your defense looks bad.
That's
56.
On paper.
Right? That's 2 weeks in a row.
I don't know, though, because I felt like our offense couldn't really connect.
Really?
Like, I don't know. Like, Joey kept on trying to go to Deke's side instead of trying to attack
Pete.
The girls' side.
Well, he tried to go – he wouldn't go at Pete because
no,
Pete
it was
is
Deke.
A threat.
No.
No, I'm saying he would not go at Pete's side.
No, okay, but that's fine. Like, we should have high-load the girl the entire time down the field, and we weren't.
We had girls in the flats on both sides.
No,
who
he
was
kept
rushing?
Jumping up on...
So we had rushed Joe LaPorta.
Ah.
Yeah,
and we did that...
Okay, so he's got this really tall girl.
Mm-hmm.
Mackenzie.
And he kept going to her side instead of going to the shorter girl's side.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
John's like, yeah, they should have
been
idiots.
So I'll rewind to the game last week. We got about, I think... close to halftime, and we realized rushing a girl is useless. It's not going to do anything for us, so we switched to Joe LaPorta rushing. He ended up getting 3 sacks in the final game of the season, which was really a playoff game for
us. It was. If you
had
lost, you weren't
in.
And
I do have to critique him, though. He jumps a lot at pumps.
He does. No, but he still got – he basically got 4 sacks in this game
that only
called one.
Guys aren't good at it.
Right. It's the same thing. Like, when girls have to play safety on Lenny's Lazy, they have no clue what's going on. It's just they never do it before. So, guys rushing is always so weird.
But Joe also forced Joey Batts to have to think and run around. And instead, you know, Joey is very smart in the way of if a guy's rushing him – he'll run toward the line of scrimmage. So, if he gets sacked, he loses as few yards as possible. But that also kind of – throws you off a little bit because you're used to kind of trying to buy some time. He didn't have that time with Joe rushing him, so that was a huge aspect to it. But we scored on the first drive, and I brought everybody together and I said, we need to do exactly what we did last week. Do not leave your zone. Stay in it. They're going to do the same 3 or 4 plays. They're going to try to get us running around. Don't buy into it. Stay in your zone. And that I think that was the biggest. Don't get me wrong. Joey did not throw well. He was very off.
Yeah.
He was very inaccurate. But, I mean, the second first drive of their game, he threw a pick to Deke on the sideline, took it down to the one. We scored on the very next play. And we were throwing into the wind on the first half. And I didn't want to tell my team this, but we're up 38-8, and I was throwing into the wind. I said, guys, this game's over.
Yeah, you can't say that. Though.
I didn't say it to him, but in my head I said, this game's over because you give me the wind at my back.
Right, it always makes it slightly easier.
A little bit easier, but
just a smidge.
I think it helped that Joey was very off, but we were on point. We communicated very well. The girls played amazing. Mackenzie played. She had 3 touchdowns. I mean, she played out of her mind. And Deke gritted into the end zone. He had a great game.
That's a dick move, though.
He's a dick, but Deke in both of our games played. I think he had 5 touchdowns combined in both of the games. Love to hear that. He played
not bad for a guy that's moving to DC.
He might be back in June, though.
He says a lot of things.
He says a lot of things.
I love Deke. All right, well, let's move on to the D5 D6 fun hour at 2:00.
PWI 23 to Let's Get Wrecked 15. Today's Feast 14. Woodpeckers 13. Punk Cakes 24 to Steve Superior Mosher Squad 17. 2 Tutties 53. Lenny's Ladies 10.
Okay, so Mike, yep. PWI 23. Let's Get Wrecked 15. Tell me about the game.
We should have won by a lot more, but I think there's a couple things that happened.
You're all drinking?
Yeah. Well, no, actually.
Buddy is always drinking.
But
so true.
But I think really what Addison, who helps me run the team, he said that he had been talking to Kroll, and Kroll goes, "Oh yeah, you guys should have no problem. We got to give him subs." And they had two guys,
Denver and Saxon from their team.
Yeah,
Ricky's hurt. Right. They had a few other guys bail, so they've been playing the last few weeks of the season. With 3 girls,
like a ghost team.
Yeah, and then Alex Buklis got COVID like the day before.
Yeah, I remember that.
So we had to get Brian O to replace him. Right. So when we talked beforehand, I was like, well, you know, they don't have like any of their roster.
Here. I wasn't trying to say that. Yeah. But what I was trying to get at was that Addison, like, I was like, you don't tell me that stuff. Is what I tried to tell him.
Yeah.
I was like, don't say that to me out loud because now it changes my mindset. I'm going in this thing as a playoff
should be,
game. Yeah, and I don't want
to play down.
Right, exactly, and. Yeah. And they had us scared, I'm not going to lie, because in the first of all, I almost made the shittiest call of my entire career. I was almost going to tell them I wanted to go with the wind in the first half, and Buddy Lee yelled at me before I could even answer the ref. And he's like, I don't want the ball going in the wind right now. He's like, I want it in the second half, you dipshit. And I was like, all right, hey, whoa. I was like, enough with the language. And then enough with the language,
despite its accuracy, you dipshit.
And I was like, we'll take going in with the wind in the second half. And that, I think, was a huge deal. But one thing I will say is they did get a touchdown that was like, they gave credit to Carly for a touchdown that I think I got her at the 5, might have been the 3, I don't know. But, like, if she got a touchdown out of that, that's, like, some Space Jam shit. You know, like, when Michael Jordan, like, reached
stretch.
The ball.
Carly came right off the field, and she was like, yeah, that wasn't the score.
Yeah, I remember coming off my coverage and getting...
okay, bug.
Get out of here, fly.
Random bug attacking
right off my coverage and tagging her way before the end zone. And then they called a touchdown. And I was, like, so confused about that call that I was still... Like, they ran another play, and I'm still talking about it on the sideline. Yeah.
That sucks.
But really, I think it was a story of the wind. So once we were able to go with the wind, we were able to move the ball. But I shouldn't even say that because, like, really in their first drive, like, Buddy was able to get me the ball a few times and get down. We were able to get down right down the field and score. I think sometimes we try to do too much or we change things when something's working. And
right.
So that's one thing we got to fix. But Buddy's been doing good at throwing the ball. We switched me to receiver, and that's what we're sticking with. And
did you say you find something that works and then you change from it?
Yeah, I think sometimes what ends up happening is, like, we had – like, so, like I said, the first drive of our game, he threw it to me a few times in the middle because it was open. And then we got a couple more throws in there, and I had a nice run all the way to the 1, I think, like, from midfield. And then we were able to score right away. I think that was also to me, but that was just the 1 drive. And then we went away from that, like, mm-hmm. working the middle like that.
Despite it working.
Despite it working, and then trying to work the outsides and do something else, you know,
it's so,
entirely.
I asked you that because, like, I hit that too. Like, sometimes we'll be playing with the girls on Lenny's Ladies, and we'll have something that works, and we'll just keep running the same play again and again. But it gets fucking boring. It's the same people getting the ball. Like, it works, though, but it's sweet. But you're like, if you want everybody to play, you want it to be a thing. But it's like, at what point do you just say, well, let's just win the game? I mean, playoffs is that time, of course.
Well, exactly.
During the regular season, doesn't matter as much. But I know exactly what you're saying because, yeah, play number 1 might work every single time. But at some point, it's like, let's just do it again.
Right. And actually, we kind of got more creative in the second half, too, anyways, and we got more people involved. So in our group chat, I gave out, like, did obviously fake game balls, but, like, one went to Joelle because she played Lights Out. And we've also improved our girls this season. We have Kayla Street, too. She wasn't able to make this week, but she's made a difference throughout the season. And then Joelle played really well. Our other player, Alex Dukowitz, he had a great game.
All right.
And then, we had Robert Lee, Buddy Lee's brother, on our roster the entire time. It was the first game he can make.
Right. Oh, I know he's been busy. He's got two kids and shit, so I get that it's hard.
Yeah, exactly. So he was a big addition. So once we were able to get things going in the second half and going with the wind, that was a whole different game.
For sure. All right. Good win. Now you get. What do you get? TMA or come? You get come from behind, right?
Yeah, we get come from behind.
Like, which is exciting because if I'm remembering correctly, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, you beat them. TMA. Then you beat them, and now you're winning your playoff game. So like, you kind of look like you have a real shot here, huh?
Well, so what I'm going to say is that I think we're putting it together now. Mm-hmm. We know exactly who we are as a team and where everyone should be. I think it took two sessions to really get. You know exactly what we think is the best lineup of each. You know, and then we, like I said, we added some girls that can really play, and because we have Ryan Dabrowski, who's also with us, and his girlfriend Sarah, she's really good also, and we got through this game without them, but they'll be there next week,
mm-hmm.
And I think just girl talent, you can't say enough about it when
it matters more than just about anything.
Yeah, exactly. So. It's been great adding some of these girls on and like seeing the difference that they make, because it's changed really how we run things and finding the right person at QB also, because like we've had to rotate so much, and then we're just going to stick with Buddy and
well, that's what I'm saying. So this week, did you at least for this week suspend Buddy from all hockey related activities so he doesn't magically scratch his cornea again?
Yeah. Oh, he tried some shit. This week, or this last week,
sounds
he said,
right.
He said he was going to go to the Sabres game, and he was going to have me throw. And I'm like,
fuck you.
I said, fuck you, we just beat TMA and come from behind with you
what
at quarterback.
Asshole.
I'm not switching back now. Like, no, this works. We're sticking with it.
And Alex, like, you character.
Yeah, and he's like, well, then I'll just tell my girlfriend that I can't make it. I'm like, yeah,
yes, that's
exactly
what you will tell her. It's true.
Because yeah. There's only 1 week left. Come on.
I know.
That's
then,
so funny.
They tried telling me that he's going to be out this week again, and I was like, this bullshit again.
Is
no,
he
going to
be out or is he
going
to be out?
No, I'm going to get a police escort and pick him up wherever he is.
Probably.
There's 1 week left. Just take it there.
1 week. Yeah,
that's hilarious. I love that. And then the other game at D5. Today's feast with a 1-point victory over the Woodpeckers, and not quite a barn burner whatsoever, but I heard the Woodpeckers, if I read correctly, they brought wrestler Dan back, and
yes,
even he came back and he couldn't do anything because the Woodpeckers have been really good. I don't know what happened this game, but hey, shout out to today's feast. Like, that's a big win, probably their first playoff win. I don't think I remember one, so
I think it is.
That's pretty exciting for them, and now they get to play TMA. Meanwhile, in D6, Punt Cakes 24, Superior Moser Squad 17. I'm not exactly sure what happened in this game, but Punt Cakes is a team that, and we've been saying it, like, because Jeff, you played them in week one, and we were talking about, like, all right, they're pretty good. They just need to, like, get it together. And, you know, Superior Moser Squad, it all depends on how the girls throw. And if it was it a rainstorm at 2 o'clock, too?
No, it was just very, very,
yeah, I think
very
it was right. really windy, which, again,
wind,
you know,
yeah, that's gonna be
they're
brutal.
Not going to cut through the wind with those.
Exactly.
Guys.
So I think that played a major factor in it. I mean, I think.
I'm assuming,
yeah. Yeah, that seems like a fair assumption. So that happened, and whatever, shout out to Punk Cakes, another low seed winning. It's awesome. Then two tutties, 53, Lenny's Ladies 10. The tutties been on a tear for the last 3 weeks or so of the season. They've been winning games left and right. And I guess whatever the problem is like with you, John, who played quarterback here, who sucked ass in this game. I think we've realized is that playoff John Langley only works for D6. So you're the worst D6 quarterback in TSL history, yet you're better in the higher divisions. That's what we've come to find out.
Yeah, yes. I'm a top 20 quarterback in the TSL except in
D6.
Well, playoff D6.
Playoff D6.
We've got to differentiate
definitely
there.
In the regular season.
No, I really stunk. Yeah. I wasn't very accurate. And then I'll tell the story because I deserve the shame. Maddie comes in at quarterback.
Yep.
And we joke because I actually hurt my finger because Camille was rushing and I threw right into it and it just jammed my index finger.
Mm-hmm.
And then we joked. I said, she's going to come in. She's going to throw a touchdown the first drive. Sure as shit. They go down, get a touchdown on the first drive, get the two-point conversion. That's how they got the 10 points.
I love that.
So I told him, I said, guys, I told you from the beginning I was your problem. I was 100% your problem.
That team's problem is always the quarterback.
No, I'm honestly, I just want to talk about two tutties. I think they have a legitimate shot to win
D6.
Oh, they seem their quarterback is throwing a lot more accurately. Mm-hmm. He's a lot more on time. They seem a lot more confident. And I think they have I'm not saying they will win D6, but do not count them out. They could absolutely win
They've got that guy Chris on their team who is just
That guy's really, really good.
Yes.
That guy could play any division he wants.
And I mean, yeah, so like the top teams in D6, Not So Sticky and Blitzkrieg are obviously at the bye. Blitzkrieg and Not So Sticky usually play each other pretty close, right? Close.
Yeah, they've both been really close.
And two tutties last week beat Blitzkrieg by like, I think it was 8 or 9 points or something like that. So
yeah.
Blitzkrieg just misses THK in D6.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Nobody misses THK ever, just so you know.
That's hurtful.
Well, it's supposed to be. So.
Not So Sticky would be my pick, but two tutties. I think I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to be two tutties giving them a run. I really think so. I think this is not the runaway that I thought Not So Sticky was going to have.
Not So Sticky is going to be pretty drunk by these games also, by
is
the
that
way.
Is that your actual goal?
Stop our actual goal is, I mean, it's not an excuse. I mean, you'll see. Well, our goal
is to win,
of course, is to win D1, get immediately trashed after that, and play so badly that we can't even stand up. So we'll see how that goes.
That's fair. That's true.
Huggy bombs?
There will be Huggy bombs. Jenna's already secured our 2 boxes of Huggy bombs, so we're set.
That sounds low.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's...
No, you're right. We got to double
that. If
they're
theoretically championship.
No, you're right. You're not wrong. Yeah. Sideline people might want them, so we'll be prepared.
I love that. So, yeah. So, I mean, the playoffs are set for next week. It's pretty exciting. Let's go around the room quick and make some predictions. That's always fun. So, Mike, I'm going to start with you in D1. Who do you know what? Just go down and just guess who you think is going to win each one. I don't really care. We'll just do it by person. I think it'll be fun.
Wait, so, in D1, who's playing who now?
So, in D1, we'll have – I mean, you can just pick who the overall
just
championship.
Pick the champions.
Like, who do you think – because, like, so the Legends are going to take on Scared Hitless, and Sticky takes on Eyes Downtown.
Oh, I'm going to go with Sticky. I mean, I got loyalty to Sticky.
All right, that's fair. I love that. I love that. Jeff, you're definitely going with Sticky, so I'm not going to ask you a
single... You can skip me. Go ahead.
I'm not even going to ask you a fucking question.
Stop it. It's Legends. They're going to win it. It's once tight ends in motion got knocked out, I think this became a clear... But I will say Sticky will give them a run for their money. It'll be closer than people think, but Legends will win it. They're way too talented.
All right, Em, what do you got?
Who won last time, Sticky or Legends?
Legends.
This season?
Yeah.
Legends won by 6.
Six.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Sticky.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
That's fun.
That's a great
answer. I think people are trying to appease Jeff Kroll here because
no,
it's amazing.
No, I'm saying
in another room.
No, I'm saying Sticky because I was talking to Adrian after the game last week, and he was telling me how on Mike Thomas is. And
Mike
Thomas is playing great.
Yeah.
It's
so
going to be
Sticky.
It'll be close, but Legends just too much. Actually, it's Joey Betts throwing. Can I change my mind?
No. Oh God. Well, Scared Hitless fucked themselves by winning, so because now the Legends won't sleep on them, so they're probably gonna lose to the Legends. I'm gonna say Eyes Downtown just to be different because that'll be fun. Well, I don't know. Do they have another flag game and it's gonna take away?
No, I guess that's over.
Full team, I think.
So they'll have the full team there, which might be interesting. So
is he gonna move the game though? I mean,
you know, it's funny though. They won by a ton this week. They're actually missing half their team this week also.
So they should have beat Hogan by at least double.
I don't want to say that.
I want to say that. I love that. All right, so that's it. But for real, I think it's going to be the Legends. No offense to you guys. I think John kind of touched on it.
Legends are the one seed. I mean,
right.
It's not offensive
I hate
to say that the best team should win.
I know, but you're my friend. So are they, so it's fine. Let's see. D2, we have Frodo taking on Buffalo Vice and the Dilfs taking on No Putt Intended. So what do you got there?
I'm gonna go with the Dilfs actually.
I love that.
Yeah,
it's a good pick.
I think they're gonna take that. But I almost went with the Replacements, but
that would have been a really bold
move. Decided not to show up.
Decided not to show up and ruin Mike's predictions.
Right.
I love that.
Frodo beats No Punt Intended on the last play of the game.
Ooh, that's really fun. I like that too.
Yeah, I got Frodo. I think Garrett's got it on his mind. He's playing. He's playing really good ball these last couple sessions. So I got Frodo.
I have to pick Frodo.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, you're obligated to pick Frodo.
But Untouchables is going to give us a good game.
I was going to have it as – I kind of wanted to say Frodo versus the Dilfs, but I found out, like I said on the way here, that Travis isn't going to be a part of that.
Right.
And I think he's a real – like, where Travis might not be a huge part of the Legends, as they'll like to say, he's really important for the Dilfs. So for him to not be there, I think that kind of, like, gives No Punt Intended the edge.
Yeah.
But right now, Frodo beat tight ends and – they like should they're arguably a D1 team, right? Mm-hmm. So
they're D1 light.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go with Frodo. That's just the way it is.
But no punt did beat us.
Right, but nobody had. I think you guys were missing players. Weren't you guys missing players in the game they won, and vice versa?
Yeah, like, yeah. I think it was just. I think so, they never played each other at full strength. Yeah. So I really that's why it's really exciting.
I'm really excited to see how that game rolls out. All right, D3, we got Bullet Club taking on Practice Squad, and Scott Senior starting taking on Itches and O's.
Itches, I gotta go with.
Yeah, you have to bet. Yeah, right. I don't know why I even looked at you.
To win D3?
Yeah. What do you got, Jeff?
Go with the 8 seed, Practice Squad.
I love that. That's a good one, too.
That's actually not a, that's not a bad pick, but I would be going against my best interest if I didn't say Bullet Club. I think we're going to, even without Pete Walbrandt,
I know, that's
I think we're going to do it.
But that's why we have a large roster of people. Go on.
Is Newman throwing for Scott Senior?
I have no
I
idea.
I don't think we know yet.
I don't think we know yet. They usually
I mean,
request.
If Newman's throwing, I'm going to say Scott Senior.
That's fair.
If not, I would have to say Bullet Club because you guys are on fire.
Yeah, we played pretty well this year. Obviously, I have to go with Bullet Club. I think I actually have a feeling we're going to play Itches and O's in the final.
Well, Joe, who's throwing for Bullet Club? Because I hear one quarterback's 4-0 for Bullet Club and the other is 3-2.
Oh, I'll take Jeff Eason for sure. No problem. So there's not a problem with that. Because one quarterback is actually pretty good as a receiver. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, he's solid.
He does okay. But yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, it'll be tough without Pete, but any game.
We got this.
So I'm excited. It'll be really – it's just fun to be playing on this weekend. Just put it that way. Let's move into D4. We have, what, Travis Henry's kids taking on Puckett, mm-hmm. Zag Attack taking on Spinelli's.
Ooh, I think this is the hardest one.
This is, of course,
this is a really good
D4
one.
Is always crazy. Kyler and Mike, you make your call first.
Zag Attack.
That's a really good pick.
Solid pick.
That's a very good pick.
Zach's a good pick, but I'll go Puckett. Puckett just looks so solid.
He looks so good.
I mean, it's obviously you don't want me to pick against myself, but I'm going Puckett. It's without Pete this week, it's going to be tough for us, even though I still believe in my team. But Puckett is playing at a really, really high level.
Yeah, they're
really
dialed in.
I really think Puckett's going to win it this year.
Puckett.
Mm-hmm. Puckett's very good, too. I'm gonna go with Zag Attack personally as well. I like that.
I like both picks.
They're really. I really think that's the final for sure. Spinelli's is good, but like you said, they don't always call plays, and because of that, it gets them into trouble. And Zag Attack's defense is very, very good.
It's very good.
So I think Zag Attack's defense makes the difference here, and they end up taking on Puckett and beating them. So,
well, it used to be the funny thing. The first game of the season when we played Zag Attack and we didn't have Pete,
right.
I told my team we needed to score 22 points to win the game. Right. It ended up being true because it finished 20-19, but I can't say that anymore. That's just absolutely not true.
Nope.
I told Zach last session, he's like, how do you score so many points? I'm like, you can do it.
Complete passes.
You just need to stop throwing the ball into the ground.
That'll do it.
And he's not doing it. He's playing so much better. They're scoring a lot of points, and they're still playing great defense.
Quarterback takes time.
Yes, it does.
It just takes time, and it seems like he's starting to get it, and that's really awesome for them. All right, so D5, you get TMA taking on Today's Feast, and Come From Behind taking on PWI. Mike, I know you have to say PWI. It makes sense.
Say PWI.
I love that.
If I had to go with a second, though, I mean, TMA usually has been able to put it together, especially at this time. I know that they had a skeleton crew this last week, but it was perfect because they had the bye week.
Right.
So they'll have everybody they need. If they're able to, I'm pretty sure they'll take care of business against today's feast. And then... I really want it to be PWI and TMA.
That'd be fun.
We love playing against each other. That would be great. And so I'm going to take ourselves PWI, but I hope we see TMA in the end.
All right, Jeffrey.
I like momentum. I'll take PWI also. They're just killing it lately.
They have been killing it lately for sure.
If you'd asked me 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'd have said TMA easily. But I'm going to go with Come From Behind.
There you go.
Because TMA has lost, what is it, 2 out of the last 3? Mm-hmm.
Bye week doesn't help because they're not getting any momentum out of
that. The bye week does
not
help after you've lost 2 in a row. So I'm gonna take Come From Behind. And sorry, Colorado Mike, I got them beating you guys, even though you guys are playing at a very, very high level. But if Paul is throwing the sling in that rock, tough for me to pick against him.
I hear you. Em, who you got?
Well, I want to say Today's Feast because I really like the team. I think it's going to be PWI.
Ooh, I like that too.
Wow.
Thank
well,
you.
So you guys, you should stop thanking them because now they've literally fired up your opponents.
I know.
You
I know.
Saying it is Trust one me. Thing. Jeff adding into it, it's like okay. Now everybody else, now there's more on that.
I'm just
going
to tell everyone not to listen to this podcast.
I'm going to post it so everybody can listen to it immediately. For me, I think it comes down to, I actually think PWI beats Come From Behind and you guys take on TMA because, number one, everything is wrestling and that's the best storyline. You know, you beat them last year in the playoffs, you beat them in the regular season, they beat you in the regular season,
it's
so you guys have this little thing going on, but TMA usually blows it. That's kind of like their MO, but they already did it. They lost. They already got their losing out of the way. Usually they wait until the playoffs to do
that. That's a good point.
And so now they're ready. Plus they just recently lost to you guys, so they'll be like prepared for you. You know, and I know, and I'm pretty sure because I've talked to one, like I know Prim hurt his foot before. I know Val missed a bunch of games, which she's been playing really well for them.
Isn't Brent hurt?
Yeah, so, well, it's just very scary. But I think he took last week off to or two weeks off to
be
prepare
right
for today.
Yeah.
So I think you get healthy Brent back.
They game plan very well. So what I'll give to them is like they don't just go into a game blind because like what we burned them with the last time was not how we won. I mean, the one game that we did beat them, they had a lot of drops. I mean, they kind of beat themselves.
Yep.
And then, but they, the one thing that was killing them was me in the middle, and they took me right. I think I had one catch.
Yeah, they figured it out for sure.
They pretty much got rid of. They made me a non-factor pretty much like the whole game, and they did that on purpose. They put Nick on me.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did that to Pete. They did that to Pete. And
that's
you.
That's what I got to do. I was trying to. I pulled out everything I possibly knew to try to get open. I think I even pushed off him a few times.
There you go. I love that.
Get out of here.
I love the old Baccio. Yeah. So like I said, TMA. I mean, TMA to me has felt like a D4 team this whole season. I feel like they've always been a step above, regardless of losing and stuff. So I kind of think that they'll take it. And that
but you didn't bump them up without their consent, or
they didn't add anybody good.
Yeah, how many Deeks?
They just
did they
stayed
add
getting
to
better. And you sat here and sucked Deeks' dick in that little while ago. We had 5 touchdowns, so it looks like we made the right call. Also, you beat the shit out of the Stunts. You're
the
fine.
Number one seed. Yeah.
Quit
no, we got
being
that
a
one
whiner.
Right. He knows.
Quit being a whiner. Anyway. Jesus. All right. So that brings us to the to D6, where Not So Sticky takes on the Punt Cakes, and Two Tutties takes on Blitzkrieg. Mike, what do you got here?
Oh man, that's Not So Sticky.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they've just been playing well.
Yeah, I'd take Not So Sticky, but I'm super biased. If it's not Not So Sticky, then I would love to see Two Tutties take it because I just love that team.
They're
really. I mean, everyone in D6 has been really fun to play against, but I just really love the Tutties.
Didn't they move down?
Yes.
D5?
Yeah. Yep.
They moved down
so,
with.
So it's a little bit, right?
They both went.
Tutties and Not So Sticky both were basically winless against other teams.
Okay.
And we both
they
moved
just
down
tied each other.
Yeah.
Yep. Just bummer.
Give me two Tutties.
Look at that.
Give
all
me
tutties.
Two Tutties causing chaos. I think they're going to win it.
What do you got?
Two Tutties. They're on fire.
Neat. All right, I'll be a realist. I think Sticky Bandits are going to do really well in D1, and I think that's going to mean they're going to drink regardless on if they win the championship or not. So I don't trust them to be all the way there for D6.
Right.
Because of that, because like I've read before, and I kind of think it like your defense is too good for D6. Maybe you have everybody else play a different quarterback, and I get that, and that's fun, whatever. But you guys are so fucking smart.
Yeah, we got
that. When your smartness takes over, it's really easy to shut shit down because you see shit none of these other teams see, which is whatever.
Well,
it's
that's what we're relying on is experience because I don't know if you know who Zach Jenkins is.
He's that guy.
Yeah, Zach is phenomenal, right? Zach is a great player. He doesn't play in any other divisions. He's just
way
pure
too good
not
for
so
D6.
Sticky. Yeah, he is too good for D6. But everybody else on the team is older and slower, and we're just relying on smarts for the most part.
It's all brain. It works great for you.
Yeah.
So. If you're relying on smarts, but you're going to be half in the bag,
yeah.
I'm not worried about you. Like Punt Cakes, I think you'll beat them for sure. I think it comes down to Tutties and Blitzkrieg, and I think because I said kind of like I touched on before how PWI beat TMA recently. Well, the Tutties shocked Blitzkrieg, so now they're not going to walk in there like, oh shit, these guys are going to be a pushover because they're at the time were 1-6. They're easy to beat. So now the Blitzkrieg's coming. This is kind of their time too, and I think it's lined up for them to finally like win a championship. So I'm going to go with Blitzkrieg on this one, just because Light Red Hooded Guy, let's go.
I was just going to say that.
Light Red Hooded Guy, let's go. So that's it. All right, cool. So we got to an hour. Let's do our it was a fun little prediction thing that I wasn't planning on, but it doesn't matter. We're going to do our winners and losers real quick, and we'll do our final thoughts, and we'll get on to the championships. We go winners first. Mike, who's your winner of the week?
My winner's Buddy Lee. I feel like he played a great game for us for PWI. He was able to put it together even when the wind was blowing him in the face the whole time. Mm-hmm. Mother Nature, you know, blowing him in the face. Hot. the whole time. And he was able to still put out together a decent couple drives that we needed in the first half. And then going with the wind, he was able to get us out of a little rut and pull a win off in the playoffs.
I love it. Jeffrey, who you got?
It's an obvious one, but 8 seeds, 7 seeds. The lowest seeded teams.
Yeah, everyone but D5, right?
Yeah. And that just makes football so much more exciting, right?
Well, 100%.
When lower seeded teams have a chance to win. Mm-hmm. So I'll take 8 seeded teams. And also, we had an issue in the morning with the scorecards getting completely destroyed by rain.
Oh, yeah.
So Travis, for finding, printing, cutting, stapling, and filling out backup scorecards for
us. Did he really?
Yeah, like while
that's
the games
awesome.
Were happening.
Good work, Travis.
So Travis was huge.
I love that. John, who you got?
We're not going to say playoff John Langley just because he shirked the narrative.
Shut up.
Travis was throwing up the choke symbol at halftime for the cunning stunts game. No.
When you were winning 38-8.
He still was doing it.
That's
I'm not
fair.
Kidding. The winner of the week, I'm going to call it Scared Hitless.
Yeah, that's
the
big.
Winner of the week.
Winner of the week.
I don't think
for
anybody
sure.
gave them a chance in that game.
No way.
Again, I don't care whether Bon Giovanni was there or not. That's still a huge win for them. So I'm calling them my winner of the week.
Awesome work. Emily, who you got?
Mine's actually Garrett because at one point we didn't think he put me on the roster, but he actually did. So good job, Garrett.
Wow, Garrett didn't smoke enough to...
To forget.
Yeah.
To forget. To make a
well,
mistake.
Actually, I was
just
like...
copied and pasted from last year, I'm sure.
He probably did. I was like, did you? Because he's like, I don't know. Make sure you check. And I was like, okay.
Awesome.
Thanks, Garrett.
My winner of the week is Rachel Parker, because I heard she was fucking amazing for Buffalo Vice Retro. She was actually tooting her own horn when I was texting her on Saturday, because she was really pumped about how well she played. And then, like I said, when I asked George earlier for stuff, he said the same thing. He said, Rachel Parker ate us alive. She's all over the field. She's making sacks, making catches. She had one of her best games in a long time, so shout out to her. And my other one's going to be to Steph, because Steph has been a Breakfast Club captain now for a couple of years. She keeps making the championship. She keeps making it fun. She always has like little gifts for us and stuff. She's been everything you want in a Breakfast Club captain. So I'm going to give her a little shout out.
She's a good captain.
I'm going to give her a little shout out for that too. It's been lovely to play on her team, and I hope we can get her a second straight championship because she deserves it. So we're going to move on.
Not if I have anything to say about that.
Well, you don't. If you beat us, you're not allowed to play for either of your games. You'll be suspended immediately.
You don't want that.
No, I don't care. I got my quarterback, and then you can't play in D4 either. Go on. Mike, loser of the week.
Loser of the week for me is Derek Pugh. I just feel like you can't go out there saying what you say like he did, and then you don't finish it. Yeah, you didn't finish it, and so he was a little chippy with Steve, and then towards the end he was just kind of...
You got to add Dante Ridgeway to that too, because he sat right in that chair and didn't even give you guys a thought. He was focused on us and Mountain Dew.
He was like, I'm great.
Yeah, they looked
what
right
a letdown.
And
bummer.
So for me, that's my loser of the week.
I hope he doesn't get actually mad at me and realize this all bit. Go
listen,
on.
He can talk to me.
Right, right.
Next week if he wants to.
And again for the Doves is the best wings thing. Ew.
Right. Yeah.
That's
why gross. He's the loser of my week.
9/11 for the win.
I think I'm more upset about that, to be honest with
you. I know, right?
Now that the game's over.
I love it. Who you got, Jeff?
Well, I took Travis for my winner. I'll also take Travis as a loser, because you'll recall that he drafted, or he helped Amber draft her Breakfast Club team.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Which couldn't even win a single playoff game. What a disappointment from Travis.
And he's not even going to be here next week.
Yeah, I know. The guy knows nothing about football, so he's one of my losers of the week. I guess the other one I'd say is just forfeiting in the playoffs.
Such a bum move.
Look, it happens. You know, people aren't around, but we could save an entire team a trip to the bar. If you just text or email to say, hey, we're not going to be able to make it. So, sorry, replacements. I love you guys. You're my loser of the week.
All right. We got John.
Half-heartedly and half-joking, Derek Bongiovanni. Come on, man. You told me you would choose tight ends in motion over your flag team. You didn't do that. No, I'm really joking on that. The big loser of the week is this fucking Buffalo weather, man. This sucks.
Damn.
Rain, winds. Can we just get a calm? I don't need it to be 70 degrees, but man, can it just not be 40 mile an hour winds for once?
I love it. Em, who you got? You can pass. You can pass. How are you not prepared?
D for gritty.
Do it.
Sure, Deke.
Ah, you suck, Deke.
Well, only because you're moving. Because you're fucking moving to DC.
Nah, that's fine. He's better in his life.
For gritting when he was up 50 points.
Yeah, that's fine too.
All right. My loser of the week is Eric Kleckler, because you can blame Derek all you want, but Derek asked him to play, and Kleckler boldly claimed, don't worry about a co-play flag. We can win without you, no problem. And then they lost by 12. So that is definitely your loser of the week.
Fair enough.
You tell arguably one of the top 5 to 10 receivers in the league, hey, you know what? We don't need you. We don't need you. We got this. And then you don't have it. Because if anybody has paid any attention to the TSL playoffs for the last, I don't know, decade, it's always crazy. So we're moving on to final thoughts. Colorado Mike's going to give you your final thoughts on everything. I'm going to run away really quick because I got to go pee. So I'm going to do it live. Don't care. Be right back.
Yeah, I think final thoughts for me anyways the season went by really fast. I felt like we just started this thing again. It's how quick it goes. But I've had a blast. I think that the session's been a little crazier than the other one, only because of weather and just, you know, different teams getting thrown in as far as people changing their roster all over the place. I think it's been more exciting this session than last. But people need to stop going on vacation.
I know, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Stop it. Stop the vacations. Do that in between sessions.
Or they can go Sunday to Friday.
Right.
Or Sunday to Friday. Sunday to Friday.
And then be ready Saturday. Like, priorities, guys.
Yeah, Saturdays for football.
Who cares who's getting married on Saturday?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
No baby showers.
You'll get to see them the rest of your life. All right?
For my final thought, I'll say be nice to the refs. We did a great job this past week. I know people kind of lose their minds a little bit in the playoffs if there's a bad call. I know your season's on the line. We've all been in that situation. You know, Sticky got what I believe screwed a few years back in a D1 semifinal game by a suspect officiating call. It happens. People aren't perfect. Mm-hmm. You can't be screaming at referees. We did a great job this past week. I just hope people, you know, remember that this is a fun league and the games aren't possible without refs. So hopefully people are nice to refs for our last week.
It's very important. I mean, again, don't yell at refs if you haven't done it. Yeah. You don't know how terrible it is. It's brutal sometimes, you know. So, and then you have anxiety that you're going to ruin a game, and then it just all snowballs. Oh, it's terrible. So, John, what's your final thought?
Final thought of the week. I stole my thunder. I was going to say.
You know, I apologize.
No, it's all right. Final thought of the week is chaos. This is
it always absolute, rains.
This was such a chaos week, as it always is with the playoffs, but really, it is a shout out to the refs, and honestly, Garrett. Garrett has done a phenomenal job all year with the refs.
He really has, yeah.
And let's make it one more final fun week for the fall session, and then we'll move on to the winter.
Yeah. Yes, we will. More information on that forthcoming as well.
Yeah.
Em, what are your final thoughts heading into the championship Saturday?
I'm glad it's going to be 70 and sunny.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it's the last week of football and I can actually play.
You're glad it's the last week of football?
Well, that I can actually play.
Yeah, right. I guess it would suck ass having to sit that out even more. My final thought is it's the opposite. I hate that it's the last week of the season. It goes really quick and it takes up a lot of my time just getting teams organized, multiple teams organized, and making sure people are going to be there and discussing shit with Jeff or Topper or Travis about every day it's always something, you know, somebody has some issue. And then, you know, getting people on this podcast, setting it up, it's all pain in the ass, but I love it. That's what I do for this league, is that I love doing this dumb shit and having a good time and donating whatever time there is for it, you know? But this season's been a little bit different for me because football's fun again. The last few seasons, it's been Bullet Club has been getting their shit kicked in, you know, and a lot of that has been people just not showing up, doing all that stuff. And now I have a team that we have too many people, but that's fine, because people still miss, but we still have more than enough people. Again, last week we missed me, Tommy, Jeff, Nate couldn't make it because he was stuck at work, and we still had Pete and Deke and Nick and other Nick, and it still worked out. You know, we still can field the team all the time. There's never even a problem. I really like that. Like I said, I'm playing on the last week of the season. You know, you always wonder, are people having fun anymore? When you run a team, are your players having fun? Are they not showing up because they're miserable and they're being assholes about it? For me, for the girls, are they having a good time? Because, you know, when I get to play quarterback, it never goes too well. And, we're all still learning each other because it's always new girls, et cetera, et cetera. So you always, have all these, doubts or worries in your mind. Are the other people that you're, captaining having a good time? Because you don't want anybody to be miserable. You don't want them to not want to come back or not want to show up or anything like that. But this season has been significantly more fun than the last few seasons, and I just can't wait to get out there on Saturday with my friends, win a Breakfast Club championship, win a D3 championship, and just get... I can't even get hammered because I have to go to a wedding afterwards, but whatever. Yeah, whatever. People get married. It was terrible.
He said, fuck people who have to go to weddings.
Get married.
I'm going afterwards. I'm going to be here all day. I'm skipping the wedding. Like, fuck that. But I have a reception to go dance at.
Priorities.
I love that you said that. I did miss it. I was peeing. I made that very clear. So, all right. Well, again, so that's it. Thank you, everybody, for spending the last hour and 13 minutes of your life with us. I appreciate you, John and Mike, for coming in here at moderately short notice. But, well, I told you right away that you earned a spot because you actually won something in the playoffs, so you deserved your time to talk. But Emily, as always, thank you for your contributions, and Jeff, of course. Hey, Mike. So I kid. I love it. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for listening. The season's about to end, and it's going to be fucking awesome. So even we always tell people, if you're not going to be on, even if you don't have a game, show up, drink, watch the game, support your friends, see what happens, and just remember, because we're not going to be here for, what does it end up being, like 5-6 months, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So half a year before we'll be back here at the Rose Garden playing football again. We'll have indoor, we'll have the banquet, we'll have all this stuff coming up, you know, a Halloween bowl we got going if our committee gets their ass moving.
Listen, nursing school's been rough,
all right? Nursing been rough. All right. Either way, no more excuses. We got Halloween Bowl coming up. We got football. A banquet coming up. We got a winter session coming up. But most importantly, we got championships coming up. So I don't know who we're going to win them, but I can't wait to see who wins. All right, that's it for me. See you later. Bye.
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 Black night, yeah. A raindrop falls from tremendous heights. A wave crashes off of a cliff in Scotland. A child bites an apple, but the core is rotten. TV is free, but what is the cost? We have GPS, and yet we're still lost. A carrot in the desert, a camel in the garden, a man with giant ears begging your pardon. What if a garbage man was actually smart? A common misconception that we're tearing apart. Into a dog, dog food is just food. Into a sock, a mansion's just a big shoe. A milk dud sitting in the acid rain. A house cat addicted to the cocaine. No teeth, unlimited floss. These are just a few of our incredible thoughts.
Incredible thoughts, incredible mind. Too many great ideas inside. It's a miracle my head can contain them. My spectacular brain for all humankind. Changing how we think about space and time.
Waits for the bus. A number one dad trophy covered in rust. A nun ducked to basketball, living the impossible. A man breaks his leg inside a hospital. We just thought of that, and it could change the world. We're like a smart oyster full of pearls. Such as an ultrasound of a new baby with a Santa hat drawn on. Yeah, that's my kind of Christmas card. What if a butterfly was made out of butter? These small thoughts could destroy Big Brother. The world's cutest kitten just hugging a dog. Just one of many of our incredible thoughts.
What if one thought could cure the people? What if one song could end all evil?
Imagine if a fish could play guitar and also sing. It would sound bizarre, like
my name is Mr. Fish.
Yeah.
These guys' thoughts have granted my wish. Oh,
and that may have just changed the course of time. I swear my mind blows my mind.